Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am continuing a series I've entitled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith. This is the end of my second week to teach on this, and this is also going to be my last day to offer you the second CD in our set here entitled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith. It's a five-part series. Now, we have a brand new hardback book that is an expanded teaching on this. I have a study guide. I have two DVDs, one that was taken live at one of our Gospel Truth seminars and one that is the exact television programs put on DVD. But then we have this CD set of this teaching, and we offer each one of the CDs in this five-part set individually, one at a time, free of charge. I do that because even though I say that all of this material is for a donation of any amount, and we make a suggested donation for those who, you know, want to know, well, what's it worth? We suggest, but if a person doesn't send anything, we still send them these materials. And, well, let me rephrase that. They have to send something for the book and all of this. But for the people who won't send anything, we make the CDs available one at a time as our gift to you. My partners have enabled us to do this. And today is my last day to make this second teaching in the five-part set available. So please listen and please take advantage of it today. I've already countered that there are some people who just emphasize grace. There are some people who emphasize faith. But the Bible says in Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." It's not grace or faith. It's the combination of the two. So then I showed some of the abuses that have happened today with grace leading to an extreme sovereignty of God, a fatalistic approach that it just, whatever will be, and I've countered that. I've countered faith, and that's what I've been doing this week. Not faith, not real faith, but an abuse of faith to where people think faith is something we do to move God, that God responds to us in our actions of faith. And I've been showing that true faith is a positive response to what God has already done. True faith is not something we do to gain a response from God, but it's something we do in response to what God has already provided by grace. Man, that's important. A second definition that I gave is that faith only appropriates what God has already given to us by grace. If God hasn't given it through grace, your faith can't make it happen. On our program yesterday, I took the parable from Luke chapter 11 about the man who wouldn't give his friend any help at midnight because he was already in bed. Some people have actually taught that this is the way God is, and we just have to get him through badgering him, just get to a place to where he's so tired of us, he has to give us what we want, so we'll leave him alone. That's not what that teaches. That teaches the exact opposite. It's not a comparison, but it's a contrast, saying if you would expect better treatment than this from a friend, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Let me use another passage of Scripture that, again, has been twisted and misapplied to teach that faith moves God and that faith is like a pry bar that gives you extra leverage. And if you will fast and pray and confess and do this, you can make God move. Here is a scripture that has been misused to say that, and yet it's actually saying just the opposite. In the 18th chapter of the book of Luke, in verse 1, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continued coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto them, though he bear long with them? Now, see, some people have taken this, that just like this woman, she asked justice from this judge, and this judge did not want to give her justice. But eventually he says, man, she's going to wear me out. I'm going to give her what she wants so that she will leave me alone. And people teach that this is the way God is. Stop and think about this for a minute. If you were to just come up with some scenario, some parable to illustrate things, and if you came up with this parable on your own and compared God to some corrupt judge who took bribes and who wouldn't do anything good, and you used them as an example to represent God and taught about how to get your things, you know what? Most of you would say, well, that wouldn't be a very good illustration. Well, that's exactly what this is using right here, but again, it's exactly the same point that I was making in Luke chapter 11. God isn't using this to tell you this is how God is, but He's using it to contrast, saying you would demand more justice out of a corrupt judge than this. You wouldn't settle for not getting your request answered. You would persist until you got justice. If you would be that persistent with an unjust judge, then how much more should you expect God to do what's right? Most of us would expect better treatment than this from a judge. Now, I admit that there are corrupt judges. But you know what? I honestly, if I was to go to court, I would expect, it would be my assumption that I'm probably going to get more justice than injustice. I think things like that happen. But really, if you look at the whole judicial system, it's rare. Most of us would expect our legal system to work better than we expect our relationship with God to work. And I believe that that's the point that he was making. You expect better treatment than this in the natural. Why do you expect that God is going to be so hard on you? You ought to expect better treatment than this. And so he said this at the end of this parable, "Hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge His own elect which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them?" People have interpreted this that the He in this latter part of the seventh verse is talking about God, though He, God, bear long with them. I want to submit to you that this is saying, "And shall not God avenge His own elect which cry day and night unto Him, though He, this unjust judge, bear along with this woman in this illustration." He's contrasting and he says, no, God will treat you better than that. And the next verse bears that out because it says, "I tell you that He will avenge them speedily." Now, think about this again. If this parable is teaching that God is like the unjust judge and you have to badger Him and it takes many, many requests and you just got to stay at it until you wear God down. Well, then God said He would avenge His own elect. And then in verse 8, He says, "I tell you, He will avenge them speedily." How would this fit verse 7 where He says, "God will avenge His own elect which cried day and night unto Him, though He," if that's talking about God, "bear long with them"? It's going to take a long time. And then in the next breath, He says, "I tell you, He will avenge them speedily." Bearing long with them and avenging them speedily are not the same thing. They're opposites. It sounds like a contradiction, but all of that apparent contradiction is gone if you interpret that the He it's talking about is not talking about that God bears long with you, that you just have to ask and ask and ask and ask and badger God. No, this is talking about God will avenge His own elect, although this judge in the example, it took him a long time. In the next verse, "I tell you, it's not going to take God a long time. He will avenge you speedily." But here's the kicker in the last part of this eighth verse. It says, "Nevertheless, when He, the Son of Man, cometh, shall He find faith on the earth?" And this links God releasing His power and meeting the need or the request that you've had to the fact that you have to believe. This goes way back to the very thing that I've been saying here for 2 weeks, that God by grace provides everything, but your faith has to reach out and appropriate what God has provided. God wants to bless you and He wants to meet your needs. He's already done it. He wants you to be healthy and wealthy and wise and blessed and prosperous and joyful and happy. And He wants you to live an abundant life. He's done everything that it takes for that abundance to operate in your life. But you have to believe it. And let me say this too. This is important that you get this. When I'm using the word faith and believe, That means different things to different people. When I say faith and belief, some people will think, well, then that means I've got to do all of these things to make God pleased with me. No, again, let me go back to these definitions I've used. Faith only appropriates what God has already provided. Faith doesn't make God provide anything. Faith is not something you do to gain a response from God. Faith is your positive response to what God has already done by grace. And if you understand that, now see, that limits what I'm talking about when I say you have to believe God. This doesn't mean that you've got to start being holy to be worthy of God answering your prayer. Grace is independent of what you deserve. It's unearned, unmerited, undeserved favor. So grace, you can't earn grace. Grace is something that is freely given. If it is linked to your performance and to your goodness, then it's no longer grace. It's works. It's payment. It's wages. See, when you go get your paycheck, you don't say, well, thank you, thank you, thank you. This is just your grace that has given this to me. No, you worked for that money. See, it's not a grace gift, but grace is something that is extended completely separate from what you deserve. God, by grace, has forgiven us, has healed us, has delivered us. He's done all of these things. And if you, by faith, when I use the word faith, if you're thinking, well, I've got to do these things to become worthy, then you aren't talking about Bible faith. You're actually talking about something that the Bible, the scriptural terminology, would be works of the law. And that you can't please God by that. You can't be justified in right standing with God through your own effort. You know, I'm getting into some terminology here that not everybody uses, and sometimes there's a disconnect. But the scripture has a lot to say about that mentality. If you think that you are justified by works, then you are fallen from grace, is what the scripture says. You've got to clarify what I'm talking about. Faith is just a positive response to what you believe God has already freely given you. You're just reaching out and partaking of what has already been provided. You are not using faith to twist God's arm and to wring something from God to become worthy or holy enough. You know, if I could talk to you individually, I believe that I could draw this out, that there is a lot of this legalistic thinking in most of us. It's the way that the world operates. Your employer doesn't hire you by grace. You have to perform. If you don't go to work, if you don't do your job, if you take too long of a break, if you aren't meeting the production quotas or whatever, they can fire you because you aren't hired by grace. In most relationships, they don't give you grace. They should, but most people are giving you what you deserve. And I've mentioned this, but when I've dealt with marriage couples, they say, but they did this. And basically what they're saying is they don't deserve me to love them. Well, they probably don't. You need to give them some grace. You need to love people by grace. We should have more grace in our relationships, but most of them aren't that way. You can't tell the policeman that stops you that, hey, I'm the righteousness of God and God loves me. It doesn't matter if God loves you. If you've sped, they're going to give you a ticket. If you go out and rob a bank, they're going to arrest you. They're going to prosecute you. Everything in this natural world operates on performance. It doesn't operate on grace. And because of that, it's just a natural default. It seems like this is the way we are raised. All of us just tend to think that we have to earn God's favor. But that is not true. And the moment you get that attitude, you are out of true Bible faith and you're into what the Bible calls works of the law that are offensive to God. And God is never going to let anybody force Him, manipulate Him, make Him do something because they deserve it. Everything that God does, He does by grace through faith, through Bible faith, where you don't do something to earn it. You just reach out and thankfully receive what God has already given you. And if you don't understand that, if you don't mix, if you don't get a proper definition of faith and then start mixing it in God's grace, you are never going to see what God has freely provided for you by grace come to pass in your life. You have to have the combination of those two things in the proper balance. And I really believe that this is the number one thing that is causing people to stumble. You know, I have people come to my meetings every single time. And because I've had a revelation of healing, and I've seen a lot of healings, and I tell about my son being raised from the dead, people come to our meetings wanting prayer for healing. And so they come forward, and I've heard this 1,000 times if I've heard it once. People will say, why aren't I healed? I'm fasting, I'm praying, I'm going to church, I'm paying my tithes, I'm reading the Bible, I'm living as holy as I can, I'm doing this, this, and this. Why hasn't God healed me? Did you know in that statement, and in the answer to that statement, is really the revelation about why you aren't healed? It's because you think you have to do things to get God to move. You are linking God's movement and healing or blessing in your life to your performance. And that's not faith. That's works. That's law. That's wage. See, you've got to get out of that. The truth is, it's not what you do that causes God to heal you. God has already provided healing for every single person on the face of the earth. Whether you believe or not, God has already healed you. He took your sickness. He took your pain. Jesus suffered that. And I could go into much more explanation from Isaiah 52 and 53 about how Jesus had every sickness and every plague, every cancer, every deformity, every bad thing that's ever happened in the history of the world enter into His physical body so that He didn't even look human. Jesus has already suffered your pain and suffered your sickness, and so He's provided for it. He's produced the healing power and virtue of Jesus that it takes for you to be well. It's been placed on the inside of you. But that doesn't mean it's going to automatically affect your body and cause you to be healed, because you have to respond in faith and reach out and take that. And like some of the things that I've been saying over this last couple of weeks, if you've been taught that God put this sickness on you, then you'll never receive this, because, see, you aren't believing the truth. You're believing a lie. You are embracing that sickness, believing that it came from God. And the Scripture says in James 4:7, submit yourselves unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You aren't resisting the devil. You've embraced sickness. You've accepted it as coming from God. You're going to die with that attitude. I know that that's offensive to some of you, but I'm saying these things because it's the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you were to go back and follow the people in the history of Christianity who've had miraculous miracle ministries, I mean, I've done this to a large degree. Healing has been an important thing, and I've studied it. And I can't say that I've studied every single person, but I used to be an usher in Catherine Kuhlman's meetings, and I saw a lot of miraculous things there. Of course, I've been to Benny Hinn's meetings, and I've seen miraculous things come to pass through him. You can go back to Lillian B. Yeoman and F.F. Bosworth, and you can go back to any of the great revivalists of the 1900s, on back into the 1800s, and you take any person who saw the really miraculous, consistent, miraculous healing power of God manifest. And without exception from my study, there might be somebody, but I've studied bunches of them, and without exception, every one of them believed that it was God's will to heal, that God is not the one who put sickness on you. God didn't control those things. He had already provided healing, and our faith just appropriated what God had already done. Every person who saw a ministry of miracles always believed that. People who believe that God puts sickness on you and that it's sent to humble you and to make you better don't have miracle ministries. You know why? Because they don't see the miraculous power of God. I'm saying that you have to believe that God by grace is provided, and then there is something you can do. You can't just sit there and have this fatalistic attitude and see the miraculous power of God operate in your life. And I know that this is offensive, and some of you think, well, this can't be. Again, go back and study it yourself. It's without exception. Without exception. People who believe what I'm saying prosper and see miraculous power. People who disagree with this and embrace this sickness and say that it's God's will, or put all of the responsibility on the individual that you have to be holy enough to earn this, those people do not see the miraculous power of God. And it's because you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, John 8:32. It's only the truth you know that sets you free. And I believe that this is the biggest error in the body of Christ today. I don't have a way of putting an exact figure on this with any authority, but it's my impression just dealing with people that the vast majority, I would say 60-70% of the body of Christ believes that everything that happens is God's will. It's either originates with God or it has to pass his desk and he has to put stamped approved on it in order for the devil to do anything. That is not true. That is not what the scriptures teach. You know, there's so much more. I know that there's questions on Job. I'm not going to take time. I could spend a week teaching on Job, but Job didn't have a covenant like we do. In effect, in a sense, God was really unjust. Now, that's not the right way to say it because God's not unjust, but it was not right. It wasn't legal. It wasn't according to what they deserved for him to be blessing Job the way that he did. And Satan brought that up. And God basically had to allow the devil to have access to Job because Job didn't have a covenant with God. That's one of the reasons that God started making covenants. And that's the reason that he instituted the old covenant. The only problem with the old covenant was it was based on our performance. And so our performance, even though it might have worked for a period of time, ultimately we all deserved the devil destroying us because we didn't keep the covenant perfectly. So God established a new covenant, the New Testament that we live under, where Jesus came and fulfilled everything. And now we receive a new covenant, a new relationship, not based on our performance, but just based on our faith in Jesus. Man, that was a mouthful right there. I'm not sure that you got that, but that is a tremendous explanation. Some people will say, well, God put this sickness on the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It says very clearly there in verse 7 that it was not from God, it was a messenger of Satan. Satan came against him. And anyway, it's a long story. People say, but he besought God that it'd be taken away. The reason it wasn't taken away is because it was persecution. We aren't redeemed from persecution. I'm redeemed from sickness, but not from persecution. Paul's thorn in the flesh was not sickness. It was demonic persecution. I've got a tape that deals with that, a book that deals with that in our healing series. And I hadn't got time to teach on that. But God is a good God, and he's provided everything. We have to respond in faith in order to see it come to pass. Now, today is my last day to teach on the second part, or the second teaching in this five-part set on living in the balance of grace and faith. We will make this second CD in the five-part set available to you as a gift if you will simply request it. You don't have to send any money. My partners have enabled me to do that. So if you'll listen, our announcer is going to give you the information about how you can get the book, the study guide, the CDs, the free CD, or the DVDs as our gift to you. And if you'll call or write, we'll send it to you. And then be sure and join me again next Monday as I continue this series on living in the balance of grace and faith.
Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith is available for the very first time in book form. You can receive a hardback copy when you send a gift of any amount. Request book T228 when you write or call or when you go to our website. A Spanish paperback version is also available. Request book T737. The Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith Companion Study Guide is available for a gift of $35 or more. Request study guide T428 when you contact the ministry. This five-part teaching was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1064C or DVD album T3208D. You can also get Andrew's teaching as seen on TV by requesting DVD album T1064D when you send a gift of any amount. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. The second teaching in the CD album titled Grace Through Faith is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD free of charge. Request teaching number TA24C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
Let me just mention once again that today is our last day to offer you the second CD in this five-part CD set on living in the balance of grace and faith. We offer our book, our study guide, our DVDs, and even our CD album for a gift of any amount. We suggest a certain donation, but we will send it out regardless of whether you're able to meet the full price or not. But for those who could not or would not send any money to get the individual, any of these individual things, we will provide each one of these five CDs free of charge, one at a time. Today's my last day to offer you this second teaching in the five-part set entitled Grace Through Faith. So if you're going to respond, you need to respond today to receive this free CD.
You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline operators are standing by to take your call. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. Our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. The address is at the bottom of your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I want to give you a special invitation to join me in Phoenix, Arizona. We have struck a deal with the Arizona Biltmore Resort. It's a four-diamond resort that starts... The normal room rates start from $300 and go up from there. And we've negotiated a price of $139 for this special New Year's celebration. They're going to give that price for 3 days before and 3 days after. So you can come and enjoy a vacation in a first-class resort, plus get the Word of God. Remember, it's our New Year's Gospel Truth Seminar in Phoenix, Arizona.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar November 12th through the 14th and in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar December 31st through January 2nd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Be sure to tune in Monday for more Gospel Truth.
When you get born again is not when God saved you. That's when you receive the salvation that was already provided. Jesus isn't dying for people today. He is not healing people today. You were healed 2,000 years ago. And if you receive your healing today, that's what happened. You just received it. God didn't just give it.